Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be together once again, and we welcome you to today's service. And wherever you are joining us from, you're most welcome from all over the world, and welcome Miracle Life Family Church. What a joy and a privilege it is for us to gather together around God's Word. And we've been going through a series that was begun by the senior pastor, and it's called A Heavenly Kingdom. And it is so very important for us to have a perspective to this life as people of God, as people that are under God's kingdom. And we went through the first part of the series in A King is Born. Pastor Walker, the pastor of Miracle Life Family Church, the senior pastor, went through a sermon called A King is Born, A Heavenly Kingdom. Pastor Benjamin later on went through a sermon The kingdom culture. Kingdom culture. This kingdom has a culture, and we live by that culture. And it is so important that when we live according to God's word, we get the benefits of living in God's kingdom. And today, I want to continue on this very last day of 2021. Can you believe it? The year has gone. It's the last day of the last Sunday of 2021. And The title of my message today is A King is Reigning. A King is Reigning, and His life is in us. So as you reflect upon this past year, so sad that we're even hearing toward the end of the year a funeral. As we reflect upon this past year, you could ask yourself the question, how has this year been for me? Has it been good? Has it been bad? Or perhaps a bit of both? But what is very certain, as we're talking about this kingdom of God, what is very certain is that God wants us to live a fulfilled life. That's what He wants. Every single person that is in the kingdom of God, God desires that you live a fulfilled life. Now, I want us to take the main text of our series as we read Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The Bible reads, "For unto us a child is born." In fact, I'd like to add that because it was a child that was born, he was fully human. And the Bible says, "Unto us a son is given." And because a son was given, he was fully divine. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Very significant. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We've been singing this morning. So we've been in a season of Christmas, celebrating the birth of this great king. So the passage that we've just read tells us a little bit about who he is and also what he does. And so when we look at it from that perspective, we begin to understand why Jesus came and how important it is for us to appreciate the work that he came to do and accomplish in our lives. So the significance of this king is not just that he reigns and he rules the way a president does, the way an earthly king does. He rules and he reigns. He decrees certain things. But the difference with this particular king is that he gives life to his people. Not only does he reign, but he actually gives life to his people. He is the very source of the people's life. So we're talking about the king who is reigning, who gives us life. And the importance of this is that when we know that Jesus gives us his life, we can have victory in this life. We can have a life that is very fulfilling. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, "As his divine power has given to us all things," not just some things, "all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers," I love that, "you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." You are a partaker of the divine nature. So this king not only just reigns, he gives you life. So this King Jesus we are introducing, we are celebrating, has accomplished all that we need concerning this life by giving us power to live in his kingdom. We are not exempt, of course, from the challenges of life. We have certain situations that happen to us that are not of our own doing. Life just happens. But you see, the difference is this. What I want us to realize and just appreciate in a much deeper way in this season is that the difference is that when we know him and we're living in his kingdom, we have the capacity to overcome anything and everything. Here's an analogy, an illustration perhaps. The conditions may be very hot. The environment is the same for everybody. But the difference is some might be in an aircon, different condition. So when you're in the kingdom of God, so to speak, you're in an aircon. The environment is the same, but the conditions are different. So the choice is yours in how you're going to respond to this king as he gives you life. So let's begin to think about ways in which Jesus has made it absolutely victorious for us, absolutely possible for us to live in a victory in this kingdom. So I want us to also use a passage of scripture that begins to describe what this king has done, what this child that was born, this son that was given, what he has done, what he has accomplished in our lives. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3 and verse 8 speak a very important point with regard to what he has done. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose," in verse 9, "for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil." Praise God. So I want us to consider three important areas in which Jesus has accomplished and given us life in his kingdom. What he has accomplished concerning us. We must always remember, lest we forget and become discouraged, and lest we forget and live below God's best. There are three areas, and I think it will be easy for us to remember. Jesus is the healing of your past. Very, very important. Jesus is the healing of your past. I ask the question, how has it been this past year for you? You have a past. 2021 is about to go. There's been experiences you've had. There have been circumstances you faced. There have been issues that you've been dealing with. And some perhaps are still on you right now. But Jesus is the healing of the past. Point number one. Secondly, that Jesus is the help of your present. The Bible tells us that God is a present help in times of trouble. Jesus is the present help. He's your help for right now. And then thirdly, Jesus is the hope of your future. If we don't have any hope for the future, how miserable are we? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says this, and it makes a very bold statement, almost just hanging there on its own. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a bold statement. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what it's talking about, it's not talking about his person as in eternity past, that he's the same, Son of God, eternal God in the past, and then he's an eternal God now and an eternal God in the future. That's not what it's talking about. When it's talking about the sameness, it's talking about he is the same to every generation. He was faithful to past generations, he's faithful to this generation, and he will be faithful to the next. He is the same in every generation. Now that is very comforting, because if he is the same, and we really do know and believe he is the same, it will make a world of difference in how we respond to him and how we allow him to work in our lives. So God's truth is very plain. I want us to look at these three areas and consider them in its simplicity. Jesus, number one, is the healing of your past. You have a history. And unfortunately, in some cases, we regret certain histories about ourselves. When we remember them, we think, oh gosh, I wish I hadn't done that. Or perhaps I wish I didn't go through that. But the thing is, we can't change it. It happened. We can't change it. But its effects can be changed. You can't change what has happened to you, but its effects can be changed. You are assailed by pain, assailed by regrets, assailed by shame. But you can change it. It's the way you respond to what Jesus has already offered. Jesus has already accomplished. You know the passage of scripture that is often quoted, and we know it, we can quote it with our eyes closed, I guess. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now notice the wording there. It says, all things have passed away. All things have passed away. And all things have become new. Jesus does a permanent job. He does a thorough work in us in bringing redemption to us. Now, there's an interesting story told about a group of Christians. They were in a prayer meeting, and it was a weekly prayer meeting. So there was this fine Christian lady who constantly would come into the prayer meeting, and she would make a common prayer, and she would always say, oh God, remove the cobwebs in my life. Oh God, remove the cobwebs in my life. And so the next prayer meeting, the next week, she would come again and she would voice out the same prayer. Oh God, remove the cobwebs in my life. Now, there was a believer among the group who was always listening to her praying that prayer. So the following Sunday again, oh God, remove the cobwebs in my life. And it began to bother him, listening to her praying. The following prayer meeting again, she prayed, oh God, remove the cobwebs in my life. Now this brother blurted out this time, he says, no God, this time kill the spider. How important that is. Get rid of the root of the problem. No more cobwebs. This time, God, kill the spider. May God kill the spider in your life. May God kill the spider that you can be free from the effects of the past that dog you down. So in him we live and move and have our being. Acts chapter 17 verse 28 says that. So when you listen to the voice of the Spirit, you listen to what God has accomplished in your life, you begin to appreciate that this king who's reigning gives you life. It's not a figment of an imagination. This is life that he gives that makes a difference. Then you live a victorious life. Then your past does no longer affect you. It's a choice you make. Jesus is the healing of your past. Remember that. And I pray that those who are listening to me, whatever it is, and you know, if we would open our hearts and begin to show people the things that we struggle with, most times they are the things in the past. They are things that have affected us in one way or another. But I pray that today, because this king is reigning, this king has dealt with our past, this king will give you a new lease of life and joy in walking with him. The second point I want to make today, apart from the fact that Jesus is the healing of your past, Jesus is the help of your present. We're living in unpredictable times, and that's the reason why we are online. Because of this worldwide pandemic, there's so much uncertainty. Somebody said, You know, the only thing that is certain about this life is that it is uncertain. Things are not predictable. It's uncertain. The pressures cause people to abandon their hope. They abandon their convictions. They abandon their faith in God's word. I want to remind us today that this king is still reigning. God hasn't shifted. God's position is still the same. He is right where he has always been. And he's right there concerning your life. And so when you respond to him, you begin to have a fresh new lease of life happening to you again. There is no greater anchor for your soul in our present day than Jesus Christ. No greater anchor. I remember we used to sing a song, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life?" We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure as the billows roar. Fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. What a place to be. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We are looking unto this Savior who's reigning at the throne of God. He's right there, right now. That makes a world of a difference. So I urge you, beloved, he is your help in the present. He is your help. All you need to do is call. Call him and he will answer you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, he said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And you see, that is a beautiful secret there. You are what you are by the grace of God. Nobody has strength in themselves. The Bible says, without him, you can do nothing. You have no strength in your own self. You are what you are by the grace of God. And such freedom is beautiful to live by. I am what I am by the grace of God. And what somebody said some years ago, he says, you know what great men are? Great men are just weak men who believe in a great God. That's what it is. And somebody said, if I've seen further than others, it's because I've been standing on the shoulders of giants. Let's remember, it's the grace of God that is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in your weakness. Jesus is the help for the present. You do not walk alone. You don't walk alone in this life to just grapple in the dark. Jesus has brought light and life to you. He is your present help. He is right there. Thirdly, Jesus is the hope of your future. Do you know, if you have no hope for the future, can you imagine you have no reason to wake up in the morning? You have no drive to look forward to next year. And you know, this is the time that most people start making resolutions. I personally don't. I have just one simple resolution. I want to walk closer to him, and that's it. Let him lead me. Let him do stuff. Of course, it's important to plan. It's important to have projections and say, I want to accomplish this. I want to get 5 PhDs, you know, whatever. But I guess the greatest resolution you can make is that I just want to know him more. I want to walk closer to him. I want to obey his word. I want to live by his instructions. What a better resolution than that. What is better? So Jesus is the hope of your future. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but you certainly know who holds tomorrow. And when you have this truth in you, you can wake up with a smile on your face. You can wake up with a spring in your step. Because you know he's already there in the future. He takes you there. He doesn't just leave you and say, work it out. He takes you there. Jesus' position is that he's already in the future. Jesus has already made the future possible for you. You know the passage of scripture. He knows the plans that he has for you. In Jeremiah 29, plans to give you a future. It says that. Give you a future. And you know, when we read the word of God, now I cheated, you know, because I've seen the end of the story. You know, they say when you're reading a sequel or a story, you gotta just wait until the end. But we've seen the end already. And you know what the end says? We are victorious. That's what it says. And so what I'm going through now must have a perspective of a victory that is certainly coming. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 6 says this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. He said it. And you see, God is not a man that he should lie. He says it. He doesn't make a promise that he can't keep. He said it, and he will do it. So we may boldly say, I love this. Are you hearing this? So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I want you to say that, and I can't hear you, but I want you to say, the Lord is my helper. Amen. That is a bold statement. Now, if the Lord is your helper, how can you fail? It's not possible. It's impossible to fail. Because the Lord, you acknowledge God as your helper. And then it says, I will not fear. Now, if God is your helper, can you imagine the one who created this joint, this whole thing is your helper. The one who created the birds and the bees and the trees and everything, he is your helper. Now, if you're walking with him, why would you fear? Because he's the one who made it in the first place, made this whole thing. So the Bible says, what can man do to me? You have a future that is secure. What can man do to me? I remember somebody saying some years ago, he said, what can man do to me? They can only kill me. Just. That's about it. They can only kill me. And when you're dead, you're with the Lord, aren't you? So therefore, we have no continuing city right here. We seek the one that is to come. So we have to have a perspective to life, to the future that Jesus had. Jesus looked beyond the cross. Jesus saw the glory that was waiting for him. And he endured the cross. That's what we read earlier from Hebrews 12. So we also need to have a perspective to the future that Jesus had. He reigns in this life right now, and he gives us his life to live in victory. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in Romans 5:2, Paul said, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, what is interesting for us to realize here is that our fear of the future is actually a betrayal of God's faithfulness. It's a betrayal of God's faithfulness. You're afraid of the future, you're betraying God's faithfulness. So as we consider this today, this king who reigns, who gives us life, these specific areas, what areas has Jesus left out? There's nothing. He is the healing of your past because you have a past. He is the help of your present because you're living right now. And he is the hope of your future because you're looking forward to tomorrow. You're looking forward to the next year. You're hoping to achieve certain things. You're hoping, some are hoping to get married. Some are hoping they're going to have children. Some are hoping all kinds of things. They're hoping to finish their project.